pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two begins now. 251-343-0106. Coming in about 30 minutes. April Marie Fogel, Alabama Today. Stay tuned for that. And then in that 11 o'clock hour, we'll have our returning champion, as we always end the week, with State Senator Chris Elliott. And on the eve of the 2024 legislative session that's coming up, we'll get into gambling, school choice, all that, as if we haven't done enough of that already. But anyway, joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Try to get these guys on every week and keeping true to that pledge is our good friend, Congressman Jerry Carl, running for that 1st Congressional District Republican nod. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. I'm doing great. Doing fantastic, in fact. You're talking about having Elliot on. I was just at a meeting this morning with Elliot, and the lieutenant governor spoke, and he and Elliot both are working on some pretty neat bills. Might need to get them, give Elliot to give you a rundown on them. But they're working on some neat stuff, especially for down here on the Gulf Coast.
Well, now I saw Azor speak maybe about 2-3 weeks ago over at the Eastern Shore Republican Women, and they're ready to go. I mean, they're just not going to be business as usual with the Democrats kind of running the chamber there. So I'm eager to see how that's going to play out. But that's in the next coming days. But in the meantime, you got an election going, and you got a competitive, I think, neck and neck jump ball race here. How's it going?
I was talking to you a little bit earlier. I mean, this week our phones are beginning to light up. People are calling, want yard signs, calling, wanting to help, calling, wanting to get involved. Our contributions have picked up dramatically since January the 1st. I mean, they've really gone through the roof. Looks like we're going to hit our budgets there, and we're excited about that. So I think everybody's waking up, and they figured out we've got an election March the 5th. And folks are beginning to understand that, you know, the difference between Barry and I, and, you know, we talk about the differences, and I think it's beginning to soak in. Folks, especially folks here on the Gulf Coast, I mean, they're beginning to, look at some of the stuff I've done in the past and look at Barry's record. So, you know, there's a big difference there.
Well, and I assume the feedback you're getting is maybe not so much of a you versus your opponent, but like you and guys on the Republican side versus the Biden administration, and just what a disaster that seems to be.
Well, that's true. And the first concern everyone has with any issue is the border issue and the disaster there. We're not going to fix so many of these things, Jeff, until we get the Biden administration out and the Trump administration in. Until we can hold the Senate, until we can hold the House with a majority, and then we can start making a lot of changes, not just changes at the border, which should be the very first thing we address, but we need to start looking at some of these environmental terrorists that we've got up there that are writing such strong environmental laws that nobody can conform to them. We've got paper mill companies I met with a group of them. And and I didn't fully understand it, but there's some changes that they're making in the paper mill companies that will shut down about 8% of the paper mill companies overnight. So, I mean, we just environmental terrorists. They want things that are unreal. They want to change the law but not give them a chance or time, the needed time to make the adjustments within their mills. So, but I think people are beginning to wake up. I think they are beginning to understand, you know, they want somebody that don't just talk about it. They want somebody that actually gets things done. So, you know, that's the difference in this race between myself and Moore. And we're going to keep preaching that. I can show it through examples, and that's what people need to hear. I'm not a talker. I'm a doer.
Well, and let's talk about this and just what's going on in the House. It looks like the Mayorkas impeachment, so at least kind of moving along and all of that. Are you worried about that because the margins between Republicans and Democrats keep getting more narrow? And, I mean, you have a guy like Ken Buck saying he's not going to vote for any of this.
I saw that with Ken Buck.
I mean, that seems like
Ken Buck yesterday, and he was one of my heroes when I went into office. I read his book, and, you know, I thought he had a great attitude towards federal government. But since I've been there, I mean, he's just done such strange things right there. Anybody that thinks that Mayorkas shouldn't be gone is loony, or it's a political choice, one of the two. Now, there's a lot of Democrats going to say that he's not. I think there's going to be some strong Democrats that's going to probably agree with us. But if Ken stays, if Buck's votes no, I mean, number-wise, it's a dead issue, and we can't impeach him. But I think there's going to be some Democrats that are going to cross the aisle to help us. They have certainly, since Mike Johnson has taken over, they've become a lot friendlier. They want to work with us more. That makes sense. So they've proved it through some of the votes that we've had lately.
Well, let's talk about the Mayorkas impeachment, because Buck says, well, look, this is not there's no high crime or misdemeanor here. It's just a policy difference. But
I totally disagree with that.
Yeah.
That man has turned that border into the way that this is going to change just Foley, Alabama. Just think about it for a second. Let's just take a small town. I'm in Foley right now. Let's take a small town like Foley. Take the numbers of people that are coming in this country. I mean, it's going to change everything around us. I mean, we're talking about 10,000 people a day. We're talking about 3.5 million people. We're talking about close to the entire population of the state of Alabama. And you think that's a policy issue? That's not a policy issue. That is just pure neglect of duty. His job is to secure those borders. His job is to make sure that people that deserve to be in this country do get in this country, not everybody that wants to cross the border. We got some bad people crossing that border, and we got to quit talking about it and get things done. We've got to go down there. We've got to shut that border down. We've got to finish that border wall. We've got to address the immigration issue. I know that's not a real popular subject among the Republicans, but when we can get that done, we can honestly look at it and say we've done our job. That does not mean leaving the border wide open. That's the way the Democrats want to interpret it. So if not, every time we have a change of guards, we get a different president, or the policy switches from liberal it doesn't keep switching back and forth. We can put laws in effect and shut that border down. The president could put it on today. So Mayorkas going to walk away from all the Hunter stuff. I mean, it gets plainer and plainer every day for me where this is going. But this idea of the impeachment of Mayor, it's not going to really do anything. I mean, it's a messaging bill. It's going to be a messaging vote, I should say. But people need to know that we're actually doing something, not just keep talking about it.
Well,
so I'm ready to vote for it.
I mean, I not that I'm trying to push back or anything, but I think it's more than messaging, because what is the decision-making process like? And no one, and not that you need to answer for the Biden administration, but the border policy to me is like, they just won't come out and say what they're up to here unless there's something going on there where they just want to flood the zone. Are they absolutely incompetent? And that's what I guess Republicans need to figure out, right?
Well, I think the president is worried about the numbers. When you look at a state like Michigan, it's got a very high Muslim population. They're afraid they're going to lose that in a presidential year. So to stop it right now, I think would that far, far, far left group that's in there would turn them on the president. I think he's worried about that. it wouldn't take much to, of course, they're already upset. They're probably going to turn on him anyway. If they don't turn their folks loose in Michigan, if they tell them just to stay home and don't vote, I don't know how that's going to affect even the state government of Michigan. I mean, it could be a turning point for that. But, California is the same way. I think he's more worried about the political aspect of it than actually doing his job. You know, again, all talk, do nothing. And that's what we're seeing out of this administration. Now he's at a point he can't do anything without affecting everybody in under his political umbrella. Because, you know, somebody like me, I started talking about fentanyl the day they opened the border. Everybody's talking about people coming across. I wasn't. And if you go back and look and listen, I was going, folks, the people are bad, but the fentanyl is going to be worse. I mean, that's the number one killer, and I don't know the exact numbers. You'll know, Jeff, but between the age of 18 and 40, that's the number one killer of people in this country. It, no one even knew what fentanyl was. Nobody could even pronounce it when I started preaching about it. But it doesn't take a rocket science to figure when you're bringing something in that's that deadly, and you've got a wide open border to bring it in, what it's going to do to a country. I mean, it is destroying our country. I'm talking small town. I'm talking rich neighborhoods. I'm talking poor neighborhoods. I'm talking everything. So, you know, we've got to shut that border down. That will slow the fentanyl trafficking up. We've also got a problem in the northern border. We don't have time to talk about that now, but we got briefed the other day. We got some things going on in the northern border. You know, the cartels have figured out the northern border is actually cheaper. I think the southern border is a great distraction from the northern border. So when you want to bring in, you know, 50,000 pills in a backpack, you can come through the northern border as easy, if not easier.
Yeah, and
we've got to put walls up. I got a new ad out today, or started yesterday. And, you know, it's called, you know, fences make good neighbors. And it's true. You know, the neighbors you got, that you got a fence in between you two, y'all are great neighbors. That's a great neighbor over there. You know, you can control what goes back and forth. In the same way at the border. You know, I get frustrated. I go down to Central America. I've dealt with those countries. I've literally sat in their offices for a day in four different Central American countries trying to negotiate and change the border traffic and get them away from it. But the cartels are in total control of Central America. So we've got to change how we deal with Central America. I'm on foreign ops. I control that checkbook. We have gotten no support. We turned in our foreign ops package, should be in the appropriation. We cut 30% of most everything that goes outside this country. I mean, and we have a tough time getting our own folks to pass it on the floor. So it's frustrating. It's truly frustrating for all of us. But we'll all agree we've got to focus on that border.
Oh, we'll light it down on this, and I hate the scenario, but let's say this happens. Well, what if Biden gets reelected? And let's say you win this seat again. What do you do there? I mean, like, how far should – and I mean – I guess if Biden wins, who knows where the House goes? Who knows where the Senate is? But at some point, I would have to think either after this election or the next, the midterms in 26, Republicans will be in charge. I mean, just how far? What do you do there? I mean, is there anything you could do to really kind of force the Biden administration to act that you're not doing now?
That's a good question. And I don't want to even try to play that scenario out. But if Biden does get in there, if we take the Senate and the House, and we take the Senate, we hold the House, and let's say Biden does get reelected, we've got a lot more leverage that way. And I think we're going to take the Senate. I really do, from everything I've seen. So we'll have enough leverage there. But Jeff, if we get him for another 4 years, it scares me to death. If it doesn't scare anybody, you know, in Alabama, you know, in District 1 and in Alabama, we've got conservative values. We've got very simple values, and we're proud of those values because they are simple and conservative. We're dealing with administration here that doesn't care about nothing but politics. That's all he's focused on is politics. He wants to talk about being a simple guy from Pennsylvania. But reality, he's just another weed growing in Washington. He's been there for so long, he doesn't know the difference. He doesn't know what a sack of groceries cost. So, you know, we all I can do is preach Alabama values. All I can do is represent the folks, you know, the common working class guy that you know, I've always been, with shovel coal, load trucks, do everything I can do to get, you know, get food to feed my family, and things have worked well for me, as it does most people that are willing to work. But if he gets reelected, I don't even want to play through that scenario with you. It's scary. It's scary. Because, we fight. People get frustrated, you know, with us because we don't get certain things done. We get so much done being in a majority, but we can't. Once it goes to the Senate, it just dies, disappears. As you know, they call it in Montgomery, it stays in the tray, is a term they use there. They just never bring it up.
Right. Congressman, we're out of time. Real quick before I let you go, folks want to find out more about your campaign, how could they do so?
Jerry Carr for Congress. Just go online. We'd love to hear from you. Love your support. I need you to get a vote March the 5th. Vote Jerry Carr for Congress.
All right. Y'all check that out.
The two first names. All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Congressman, thanks for coming on. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.